Hi, I'm John Hilliard, Assistant Editor for SearchDisasterRecovery.com. Today I'm speaking with David Chapa, Senior Analyst with Enterprise Strategy Group, about what to look for in IT disaster recovery services. How's it going today, David?
Good, John. Thanks a lot for having me today.
No problem. Let's just jump right into this thing. To begin with, what should you look for in an IT disaster recovery service? Should you expect the provider to send a team to advise your organization in the event of a disaster incident, or are these services focused more on helping you develop a DR plan?
Well, John, I think it's a combination of both, really. There are certain levels of disaster recovery services that customers are able to subscribe to. Some certainly will be to help customers walk through the process of developing a disaster recovery plan. Having been in that space before, it's difficult. I mean, it really is a difficult task for customers to come up with a DR plan, because really what you need to do is understand who is going to be available. And oftentimes that is a big question, but who is going to be available to execute the plan? And so therefore that plan needs to be written so that that individual on that chain is able to recover the systems, the application, and the data. Let's just say, for instance, that you don't have your entire staff. You have maybe a junior sysadmin who is available to get to the DR recovery site. Well, that junior sysadmin needs to be able to recover and execute that plan. So writing a plan that's very effective, can be tested, and then executed to that level is quite important. Now, there's the other side of that coin, where you have services where companies will actually provide resources to help execute those plans at their recovery site as well. So it really is a two-sided coin, really, as far as what customers can choose from, and there's a variety of vendors out there.
Now, you brought up the issue of resources. What kinds of technology should an IT disaster recovery service provider have available for clients? For example, should have servers available for a client's use while that client is responding to a disaster scenario?
So, at this point, I think the customers are in the driver's seat. Right? I mean, if they're looking for a service out there, I believe the customers really need to take a good hard look at what their requirements would be in the face of disaster. So if I'm sitting in the customer seat, I want to know that there is a virtual infrastructure available potentially, that they have physical servers available potentially, because, you know, there may not be 100% virtualization inside of a customer's environment, let's say perhaps because an application is not suitable for a virtualized ecosystem. So you want to make sure that the systems that you have on your local site can be adequately supported at that recovery site. So I think, you know, like I said, customers are in the driver's seat. They need to take a look and identify my highest priority applications, what server and resources do I require, and do the providers have this available to me? I certainly would think that, you know, when you declare disaster, it doesn't mean that you have a smoking hole either where your building once was. Declaring disaster means you might have a rack that went completely down. And so making sure that you can bring that up either via virtualization or physical servers at that recovery site is very important. And John, I tell people this all the time. I think that, you know, data is important to recover, absolutely. But when you're talking about disaster recovery, I really firmly believe, especially with your publicly traded companies, public relation fallout is one of the biggest concerns that companies need to be faced with. Because inaccessibility to their website, inaccessibility to their sales order system could really negatively impact customers' perception of this company's reliability.
Earlier on, you'd mentioned that the customers are in the driver's seat. Let's play out a devil's advocate scenario. I have an IT staff. I have the equipment. I have an ability to do offsite backup. Why would I want to outsource DR?
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, I was having this conversation yesterday with a customer. Why should I do this when I can replicate my data center somewhere else? And the reality is customers can. And this particular customer was looking at a CapEx investment of about $150,000 just to mirror what they had in their environment for the critical applications they felt needed to run in order to maintain continuity of their business. But I asked the question of labor. Did you figure in labor? And the response was, well, that's really difficult for us to put a finger on. It's kind of like a smudge on a piece of paper. So we put a rough estimate in there. And I think that that's a key aspect right there. There's labor and there's expertise. When you're working with a company that provides the service, and that's what they do, they have a certain level of expertise for executing these DR plans, assisting customers to properly execute these DR plans. And not want to say, you know, manage success, but certainly they'll manage to a greater level of success if the plan's properly written. So I think that's one of the reasons why customers should at least consider DR services versus doing it themselves, because there'll be a team there who is experienced. They've gone through disasters. They're not emotionally tied. And when you're not emotionally tied, you can think much more clearly and help people execute the plan much more effectively.
Now, say you are at that stage where you want to look at outsourcing and you're close to an agreement. What are the kind of things you should look at before you sign the contract with a provider?
Well, the biggest thing, as you probably know, is service level agreement. You know, I've been in this industry for a long time, 25 plus years, and I remember asking those questions 25 years ago, how many people have a service level agreement? And very few hands would go up. And I think today there's a lot more formalized service level agreements in place, SLAs, but I don't know that customers really have a firm handle on what those look like in their own environment. When you look at a service externally and that discussion is made, then I think it provides the customer as well as the service provider an opportunity to really define what is that service level, what do you really require? And beyond that, right, so beyond the service level agreement, what that really starts to draw out is a customer's need to take a look at their business. Business impact analysis, I believe, is a real key component to helping identify what should the service levels be for these various applications, servers, and data that I'm trying to protect. So I think it's a very important aspect for customers to focus on what the SLA is. I think the other thing is, what if you don't meet the SLA, Mr. Service Provider? Then what are the repercussions? What are guarantees that I can get? I think they need to look at that as well. I don't want to put any numbers in there as far as how to, you know, negotiate the contract, but I think those are two very important aspects when having these discussions. And I think the other component, understanding the data center where your data will be residing, understanding the stewards of that data. What do they do as far as checking individuals who have access to their data centers? What kind of background checks do they run? What kind of certifications do they have, the ISO or the SAS 70 Type 2 certifications for their data centers? I mean, those are all questions I think customers need to ask. And as I have written before, treat this as though you are interviewing somebody to come work on your staff and have access to your most critical assets, your data.
All right. David Chapa of Enterprise Strategy Group, thanks again.
Thank you, John.
And for more information about DR recovery services and other tips, check out our website, searchdisasterrecovery.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thanks for listening.